SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Make a lot of money.
It's Pharrell, Coast to Coast.
It's Pharrell on the bench, Coast to Coast, in the biggest way possible, hanging out. The bad seed, the broken day, the bad apple with a bad attitude, Harry. Bad out of bad tape, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Pharrell Appalachia, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny loves a little afternoon gushers hybrid in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up should do, but I'm up in the come around, let's fight a party of rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess, this town's a tatter, my brain splattered all over Manhattan. It's only rock and roll, but I like it, yes I do, but I like it, yeah, yeah. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Pharrell, I'm with your boy Carver. Hi, this afternoon. Mafia running it with Hayden Fried, LTN in Kansas City, Mo, a birthday roll call on a Thursday, Allie Raceman. 29, Sean Merriman, 39, Norman Powell, 30, Kyle Brodziak, 39, Brian Urlacher, 43, Tariq Glenn, 47, Dennis Stallings, 49, Antonio Lang on the back nine on the 11th, 51, Keith Hamilton, 52, Kendall Gill, double nickels, Dave Hollins, 57, along with Bill Hasselman, David Shaw, 59, happy birthday to ya, happy birthday to ya. We got day ball going on right now. St. Louis and Cincinnati, bottom nine, runner on second, one out, cards up, two zip on the Reds in the Queen City. And Tampa leads Toronto 5-1. They're going to start soon. Miami, Colorado, San Diego, and Washington at the top of the next hour. Miami's at 3-10, and we'll keep our eyes on those games all day long. Orioles beat the Yankees last night with a huge inning. 9-6, they end up taking it. Gunnar Henderson with the go-ahead double. We got it for you. Phillies beat the D-backs 6-5 and 10. They were up 5-0, the D-backs, and blew it. Trey Turner ties the game in the ninth. Finally does something for the Phillies for all that money they're paying him. Braves beat the Dodgers 4-3. Matt Olson with a home run. Tigers over the Royals 6-4. We'll look at all the games. Cubs beat the Mets. Stroman was on the mound. Angels over the Red Sox, 7-3 for the sweep. A Trout homer involved there. The Red Sox move Corey Kluber to the bullpen because he's washed. Mariners beat the A's 6-1. Correa dealing with plantar fasciitis and heel problems may land on the IL. Davis Maddock will join us to talk about all of it and get your daily fantasy lineups ready for tonight. Who to start, the hitters, the stacks, you name it, we got it. Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News joins us today to get it all going. And tonight you got several games. White Sox are in Detroit, Baltimore and the Yankees again in the Boogie Down, Philly in Atlanta, Mets Cubs again at Wrigley, San Francisco's in Milwaukee, and Oakland, Seattle out in the Pacific Northwest. Game 5 tonight at the Garden in Boston between the Heat and Celtics. Eric Spoelstra doesn't care that the Heat are underdogs. We'll hear from him. Gabe Vincent is out tonight with an ankle. We got your Game 5 odds. Underdog in the East Finals. Celtics Heat's most bet player props. Miami-Boston series odds. And NBA title odds. Of course, Denver's already in the final. Coach Young will join us on the Lion's Share to break it all down for you. Kyrie Irving wants people to leave him alone about free agency. Gladly, brah. I mean, that's just, no problem there at all. I don't care where you go, what you do, who you are, anything. Give a rat's ass what you want, care about. Go F yourself, bro. I'm so done with that dude. It's not even funny. He's cancer. Lymphoma. Wembanyama makes Kyle Kuzma look like a point guard. Have you seen a picture of this guy standing next to Kuzma? And Kuzma's big. And he looks like tiny compared to this guy. NBA discussing technical free throws for flopping. Jesus, that'll open up a whole side hustle for the NBA. getting guys to get tech free throws for flopping? Christ, it sounds like a sport in itself. Clippers GM Michael Winger leaves that job to run the Monumental Basketball, which is what runs the Wizards, Mystics, Capital City, Go-Go in D.C. So he's moving to the nation's capital. No one's ever heard of him before, but he got a big job. Today in Carver High History, we'll do that as well. We welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Channel 159, our satellite partners all over the Southern Hemisphere. You can hear it everywhere. Also, Sports Byline USA in San Francisco and all their affiliates. And, of course, Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in San Diego. Near Tijuana, Tijuana. The Panthers beat the Hurricanes last night at Sunrise 4-3. And it was unbelievable. Kachuk with 4 seconds left with a snapper on the doorstep to win it for the Panthers. We got it for you on QAM. We got Paul Maurice, Kachuk talking, Brind'Amour talking. The sweep. The Canes are finished. The Panthers are going to the Stanley Cup Final. They were the last in. They're the first in now. Jamie Benn of the Stars suspended 2 games for the cross-check on Stone's head and neck. That was violent. He lies to us today on C2C about what he meant to do. Vegas and Dallas tonight, Game 4 in the American Airlines Arena in Dallas. They're down 3. Stanley Cup odds. We got it all. If Vegas Stars ends in 5 or less, the Stanley Cup Final starts Wednesday the 31st. If not, it'll start June 3rd. We got Adam Kaplan, our NFL insider, to talk. Plus, NFL news. We got tons. Pat Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Jimmy G, Bill Belichick news. All of it today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Get the new app. It's free in the iTunes store. You're going to love it. It's got the TV side on it, the radio side on it. Follow your favorite hosts. Got odds, in-game odds, scores, news, analytics, everything, stats. I mean, it is just absolutely Gandhi. Also, go to sportsgrid.com/watch and see all the platforms that we're on. Have you got the BetMGM MLB bet and get deal? You haven't done that yet? What's wrong with you? I mean, everybody's doing it. You haven't done that yet? Like, what? I mean, what are you doing with yourself in your free time? Honestly, download the BetMGM app on iOS or Android. Sign up, deposit 10 into your new account. Place a pregame moneyline wager of at least 10 bucks on an MLB game. You're going to get bonus bets. That's money. You're going to get, like, money to play with here instantly, regardless of the outcome of your wager. The amount depends on what's allowed in your state from the governor. Anyway, you're going to love it at BetMGM. Go to BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. All right, Carver High. We got day ball going on today. You're immediately forcing me to gamble at the outset of this show.
We should do that because everybody wants to do that and everybody likes money. So let's roll. We already have one game in the books, believe it or not. The Cardinals have already beaten the Reds in Cincinnati. We also have the Rays right now. Leading the Jays in Tampa 6-1. They're in the seventh there. They are about to start, or maybe just through the first pitch, in Colorado for the Marlins and the Rockies. Braxton Garrett and Kyle Freeland is your matchup here. Marlins road favorites minus 125. 11 is the total. I saw some 10.5s this morning, so hope you got on that.
Well, I mean, they're underway. So yesterday there was plenty of runs. I think the Marlins put 10 on the board. So I'm on that over. And, I think it was Garrett pitching today. I like the Marlins.
Yes. Yes. Garrett is on the hill. Freeland is going for the Rockies. The other game that starts at the top of the hour, just after 4 East in D.C., Padres and the Nationals. Blake Snell goes for San Diego. Jake Irvin will start for the Nats. Padres -2 Bills on the road here, plus 165 for DC, 9.5 the hefty total.
I mean, like, it's like looking in the mirror, these two teams. It's funny, we're like used to making fun of the Nationals because they're so awful. So are the Padres. And in particular, Blake Snell, who can't get out of his own way. His last outing was his worst as a Padre. And now all of a sudden, we're supposed to bet on him two bills? Not happening. I'll take the Nats. I don't believe in that guy at all anymore. Something's wrong with him. He's not the pitcher that dominated baseball at all.
No. He certainly is not. So there you go. Those are the games that are starting this afternoon. We do have several games tonight that we will discuss later on Coast to Coast. How about we get into some stuff from last night first? Yankees and the Orioles in the Bronx. Yankees, Scotty, had a 5-1 lead in this game heading to the seventh inning. Problem is, they gave up 8 runs in the seventh inning. Frazier hit a 3-run homer off the foul pole. They put a few more guys on. And then Gunnar Henderson, your boy Gunnar, putting him ahead for good on Masson with the double down the line.
Henderson smacks it fair, past the dive of Rizzo, into the right field corner. McCann scores, Mateo burning behind him, and he will score easily. And the Orioles have resurrected this game. A 5-run seventh inning, a pinch hit, 2-run double for Henderson, and a 6-5 Baltimore lead.
Yeah, I'm not one that's so shocked over this as the announcer or anybody else. I don't know how many times I've talked to you or Davis Maddock about the Orioles, that I think they're a good team. Mullins and company, it goes on and on. And then they say, oh, they don't have pitching. Yeah, they do. They have everything. And they win. And they F with the Yankees again. I'm not surprised at all.
Right. They do now, which is, you're right. That guy shouldn't be so surprised. I think that they still, you know, because the Yankees beat him around for so long, I guess they're still like, you know, it's still like a new thing to them that they beat the Yankees all the time now. Because they had a good, you know, 5, 6, 7 year stretch where the Yankees just pulverized Baltimore every single time they saw
That's
them.
That's over with.
And now they beat them. That is long over with. But now we still have to act like it's a big surprise. When they put, now you get an 8-run inning on anybody, it's a big surprise. But Orioles are a good baseball team, a real good baseball team.
They're tough.
Second best record in baseball for a reason. Yesterday in Philadelphia, the Phillies were looking to avoid the sweep from the Diamondbacks. Down 5-0, they claw their way back. And can you believe it, Scotty? A Trey Turner sighting for the Phillies at Citizens Bank in the ninth on NBC Sports Philadelphia.
And the pitch in the air to left field. Going back on it is Carroll. Back toward the wall. It is gone! The Phillies have just tied this game up. Trey Turner, a 2-run home run. Towering shot. It's a 5-5 game. And he's flipped the boot into cheers. That is a sweet swing.
For whom the bell tolls, huh? So at least they're not blowing a foghorn like everyone else. And look, his own mother's booed him. So like for this guy to turn it around like that, it might get him going. We'll see how it plays out. But I lost that bet, and I lost today up 2-0 in the ninth. Laying a run and a half, the Reds scrape one by with one out. They get the run and lose 2-1, lose the bet. I lost that bet yesterday in Philly, too, up 5-0. I want to puke.
No good. Alec Bohm had the walk-off hit for the Phillies in the 10th after Turner tied it. Maybe that will jumpstart him because he has been very, very slow start. The Braves got a win against the Dodgers. They lost the first two at home, got one back last night. Matt Olson going big fly on Bally Sports South.
2-2 Olson. Speaking of homers. Oh, my. Oh. Over the Chap House. Atlanta leads it.
There you go. Very exciting. When the Braves beat the Dodgers. Very exciting.
Very exciting. Two best teams in the National League. Braves now with 30-19. The Dodgers at 31-20. So both of them have been the two best teams, really, I guess you could say, the last few years in baseball. That's for sure. Tigers beat the Royals 6-4. Cubbies beat the Mets again. Great performance from Marcus Stroman on the mound. Nico Horner providing the offense on Marquee.
Drill in the field. This one back on its way. Out of here. Nico Horner. 4-2.
It's amazing to me. Like, we've had this discussion as well, how the Cubs win at Wrigley and nowhere else.
Yep. Yeah, it is amazing. They've been very good at home. They have been awful on the road. 8 innings for Stroman against his former team. He was very happy afterwards and during the game at dominating him as Senga lost for the Mets again. I've got a few more later on, and then we will get into tonight's games after you talk to Davis and DeCourcy.
That was another bet I lost. I had the over 6.5, and it lands on 6, and it was just... Are any of my teeth missing? Because I feel like I got kicked in the teeth. Any of them missing?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Davis Maddock is from Fantasy Sports Today. You can check him out Saturdays at 8 a.m. with Scoop Mish. And he's on Coast to Coast every day right about now, 3:25 Eastern on C2C. Davis, good to see you. I want to start with the Padres. They're getting ready to play the Nationals. And Blake Snell is pitching. His last outing was maybe his worst as a Padre since he's been in San Diego, and somehow he's favored today -210 over the Nationals. I can't for the life of me figure it out. Who's worse, the Nationals or the Padres? Because the Padres are just as bad as the Nats, aren't they?
Yep, I actually bet the Nationals run line earlier this morning at +105. The Padres 22-27. Don't really know how it gets better for them other than the guys they have on their roster improving. And I think for the hitters, I've been saying this about Soto the whole season. I think it's true for Tatis. I think it's true for Machado, assuming health for all of those guys. But I don't really see how the pitching staff really gets all that much better looking at all the peripheral stuff for Blake Snell, his strikeout rate. I mean, for his career, every single season for the last 6 years, he struck out 23% or 30% of dudes or more, all the way down at 23%. He is walking. This is when you get really concerned. He's walking 13% of the guys he's facing. His exit velocity and his hard hit rate is way up. So basically everyone is coming to the plate. They see Blake Snell pitches like a beach ball. I mean, maybe not everyone sees it like a beach ball. Maybe it's a volleyball for some of these guys, but his velocity's down. He's walking guys. It's not optimal. And, you know, what are the rest of their pitching staff? Like, can Yu Darvish be a Cy Young candidate again? I don't, probably not. Joe Musgrove has been really bad since coming back from this toe injury. This is a team that's so desperate, they had to apply for the services of Michael Wacha, who nobody wants. Nobody really wants Michael Wacha to be pitching for their major league team. I don't see how the starting pitching really gets better for them.
So, and it's interesting because remember when they got Musgrove, he's from San Diego, and they got him from the Pirates, whatever, and he threw the no-hitter, whatever, and then he's basically done nothing since. Like, is that about right?
I mean, it is about right, and I think part of it is that toe injury. If you just think about pitching, you got to push off your toe every single time. He probably came back a little bit too early. But I mean, to your point, guy throws a no-hitter for them, and he's been really good in terms of run prevention, but he hasn't struck a ton of guys out. He didn't strike a ton of guys out last year. I suppose he did get 200 strikeouts in 2021, so I should be fair to him. But I mean, I guess really the Padres' biggest problem, Scotty, is they got this huge payroll. You know, over half a billion dollars. You know, they're paying all these guys. Juan Soto's contract goes until, like, you know, the year 3000 or whatever. And everyone's just kind of average. I mean, Matt Carpenter is DHing for this team some nights.
The year 3000. Wow. Imagine how big Sports Grid will be by then. Let's talk about Trey Turner. Do you think that two-run homer that tied that game yesterday will turn him around? Because he's another guy that got a ton of money and has done nothing but get booed in Philly.
And, I mean, look, what did he say at the press conference yesterday? Even his own mother was booing him yesterday. I mean, look, he deserves it. Will Trey Turner, at the age of 30, turn it around? I mean, if we're defining turn it around in the sense of can he hit 280? Can he hit 22 home runs and steal, I don't know, let's call it 20 bases, right? I mean, he's not really stealing that much this year. And in fact, he just stole two this last week. But a lot of his peripheral stuff, you know, how hard is he hitting the ball? Is he hitting line drives or is he hitting ground balls? Is he walking? Is he striking out? Trey Turner, for his career, strikes out 18% of the time. He struck out 26% of the time this year, which really, I guess, is either he might be a little bit injured or he could just be pressing, right? I mean, he got this big contract, new team. He's up at the plate. He's worried. I mean, that is one thing we know about these guys in baseball is once you start pressing, once you are desperate to get a hit, once you're going up on base and you're saying, if I don't get on base right here, I'm going to freak out. It makes it a lot harder to get on base. So I would say in general, I would bet on Trey Turner figuring out, but I would not love being the team on the hook to pay him that giant contract.
Why do you think the Mets are a 500 team and not better? Last year, they were so good. Obviously, year to year is a whole new ball of wax, but they've just been so average. Like, they thought they were turning it around there, right, when they beat Tampa, and everybody said, oh, they're getting hot. They're turning the corner. And then now they're losing again on the road.
They are. I mean, I guess I'm looking at their roster and I'm like, I don't know. They look like a pretty average roster to me. I mean, Pete Alonso, he's the man. Jeff McNeil, pretty good utility, middle infielder type guy. Their corner outfielders, I mean, not great. Starling Marte now is at the age of 34. I think you see Starling Marte's name in the lineup and you're like, all right, guy's a stud. I remember him being awesome at many of his prior stops. And you're like, well, you know, he's kind of a speedy, quick twitch outfielder. He's 34. And I do know from all the Mets fans I follow on Twitter, they all hate Daniel Vogelbach. I mean, they just watching Daniel Vogelbach hit for them, they absolutely hate. I've always kind of had a soft spot
for him. They loved him last year.
Right? Right? I mean, look, I love a good corn-fed boy designated hitting in Major League Baseball. But, I mean, if you're getting pretty mediocre two home run production from your full-time DH, it's not great. It's not great, right?
All right, let's go to your lineups for tonight. Start with your pitchers.
All right. Well, I mean, look, I really hate to do it because I know there's got to be at least one long-suffering Oakland Athletics fan who's tuning in to Pharrell Coast to Coast, and he just dreads when I come on every day because I'm going to be always taking the pitcher going up against the Oakland Athletics. I really have not seen stuff like this all that often. I mean, a 7.5 total with a pretty good Mariners offense. And I like Logan Gilbert. Logan Gilbert is a good starting pitcher. 9 strikeouts against Atlanta, 10 against Texas, the two of the better teams in Major League Baseball. Gilbert has been, he's having the best season of his career this year. But man, do the Oakland Athletics stink. So definitely Gilbert. There's a couple guys you could go with as your second pitcher. I am going to go with Carlos Carrasco, who is taking the mound today against the Cubs. I just kind of like to pick on the Cubs. They've got a couple guys in their lineup today who, honest to God, I've never heard of. Miles Mastrobuoni, Matt Mervis. You know, we just got the Cubs are just picking off random guys here.
Is Carrasco not their worst pitcher? He's got an ERA almost 9.
Yeah, he's not great. You're right. He's not great. I just need can I get 5 innings, 7 Ks, 2 earned runs from Carrasco tonight? If I can get that against Cubs, I'll take it.
All right. What about your hitters tonight, Davis?
All right. Well, we don't have to spend a ton of money on our pitchers, so we got plenty. We got two expensive hitters that we can go with. We got Adley Rutschman for the Orioles, batting second against Clark Schmidt. I just kind of like the Orioles to keep scoring all these runs. I mean, their offense has been pretty good. I have a chance to beat up on Big Brother. You know, Big Brother never likes it when younger brother gets the even hand there. I'm going to keep, again, betting on Julio Rodriguez, just like Juan Soto. He's too good. He's too good to go through this slump. And then Jose Caballero, man. I mean, for a nine-hole hitter, this guy just keeps whacking out the hits at the plate. He's been. I actually would not be surprised to see them give him a couple games at leadoff just to see what he can do. And then Lamonte Wade Jr. has the platoon advantage there against Julio Teheran. And I think Tehran's probably going to get smoked tonight by the Giants.
So you're going to go with the teams to stack. I'm guessing one of them has to be Seattle, right?
For sure. I mean, Seattle, I keep waiting for one of these crazy football score type runs. They gave one to me last week. Really what I need Julio Rodriguez to join the party. You know, we've had Caballero do it. We've had Sam Haggerty out here. You know, Kelnick hit a monster home run the other day, but I just need Julio Rodriguez to join in the party, and then the Giants as well. We got Tehran coming back a little bit later in the season here, and some of the numbers and stuff that I look at, just think that this is a really, I mean, Tehran really struggles against lefties, and the Giants can get super left-handed, so I like the Giants tonight.
So the Orioles and Yankees tonight, final game after what the Orioles did to him yesterday. Who do you like to win this series tonight in the Bronx? And then, by the way, Musgrove is pitching against the Yankees tomorrow in the Bronx.
Yeah, give me, you know what? Give me the Orioles. I don't care. Kyle Gibson has, it's got all the marks of the Yankees stepping up to the plate, hitting about 87 fly balls, and they're all going to die about 10 feet away from going over the fence. It just feels like one of those frustrating nights for the New York Yankees.
So, you know, I had the over in the Seattle A's game last night and lost it because the A's can't score runs. I mean, they had one run last night, and you know, I see why you're betting against them every day, and I see why you're stacking them every day. Seattle over the A's, hitters against the A's, pitchers against the A's. I mean, it's just a feeding ground betting against that team. They're so awful. Great stuff, Davis. I'll see you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Always fantastic to hook up with the great Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News every week on Coast to Coast. Mike, I want to start with Carmelo Anthony. After 19 years in the NBA, announces his retirement. And, you know, the guy could shoot threes still, I think. He could go in and knock them down from anywhere. But what a career. And we were saying the other day on this show, as you know, I'm not a fan of Boeheim's. I just can't stand him. And the way he treats people, I'm not that guy that puts up with that. I'm the guy, I've never liked bullies. And I've always felt he treated people like a bully. And the greatest thing that I ever saw in my life was Knight catching him 13 down with 3 minutes to go in that game in New Orleans. It's the greatest thing I ever saw in my life. It really, to this day. And it, every time I think of him, all I do is go back to that moment to just realize how great that was and how much I can't stand Boeheim. And I have said that if it wasn't for Carmelo Anthony, Jim Boeheim wouldn't be the coach that everybody thinks he is. They think he's this one of the greatest coaches ever. Now, I'm sure you're going to tell me how wonderful he is, but all I know is he would have never won anything without Carmelo Anthony. That's all there is to it.
He would not have won the national championship without Carmelo. I don't think there's any question about that. But, I mean, he was in five, six Final Fours. He was in that championship game in 1987 and did have that lead. They didn't do such a great job protecting it, obviously. But I think it's more, this is really more about Carmelo and right. what his legacy is. And I didn't, you talk about being mistreated. I didn't think that Carmelo was well treated generally by the media during his NBA career. There's too much emphasis now on what you're not. You're not a champion. You're not a great defender. Back in the days when Dominique Wilkins wasn't winning rings or Charles Barkley wasn't winning rings, they were still considered to be great players. And I don't think, although I'm sure they were criticized at times, I don't think they took nearly the kind of relentless criticism that Carmelo took. And how you can say he's not a champion when he's got that ring from Syracuse, when he's got three Olympic gold medals? I don't buy that at all. He's one of the great players in the history of the game. Where exactly he fits in, I tell you what, they're not going to take long before they call Carmelo Anthony's name when they're calling the role in the greatest players in the history of basketball. And I think that's got to be what people remember of him.
I thought they, you know, I would agree with all of that. And I think it started actually the way they, treated him in Denver. Like, I thought he was a lot better player than they give him credit for. You know, that team just this year, for the first time ever in 47 years, made it to the final. And they're going to the NBA Finals, and they've been a fantastic team. But the closest they ever got was with Melo. Am I wrong?
No, that's correct. They were in the Western Conference Finals with Carmelo and didn't make it. And they lost a terrific team. And that's the way it works. Not everybody gets to be Michael Jordan or LeBron James. And you know why? Because those are the greatest players in the history of the game, the literal greatest players, along with Magic Johnson and Bill Russell. Those guys were Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Those guys were always at the top of the mountain because they were the literal best players. Carmelo wasn't, but he was one of. And that one of gets too often discarded. If you're not the... Then we forget about you until 20 years later, and all of a sudden we can love you like we love Charles or Dominique now. I just think that's silly. Accept him for what he is. And if you put the right pieces around Carmelo, maybe you win it. Maybe you get to the finals. But that never happened in Denver. It never happened anywhere he was. The right pieces were never there. It's not the star player's fault. It's the GM's fault. It's the coach's fault. They're the ones that are supposed to build the team. And when you don't do that, and a player like LeBron says, you know what, you're not getting it done, I'm going to Miami, then everybody hates him for it. It's kind of ridiculous the way we hold players up to that standard. When I was a young person growing up in my teens, nobody disliked Ernie Banks because the Cubs didn't win a series or get there, right? I mean, right. People still adore Ernie Banks with every reason. He was one of the greatest players in the history of the game, and he was one of the most delightful people. Well, Carmelo fits that as well in a lot of ways. He's had his moments, but in general, Carmelo's been a really solid person. And I just don't like the way that happens now in the media and in the public, in the Twitter sphere.
Do you think it got worse in New York?
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, he put himself into that by forcing the trade, certainly requesting it. He put himself into that crucible, and that's what's going to happen in a town like New York. I think that it's changed a lot with the current group of newspapers and sports writers. Mike Vaccaro's not like that at the New York Post the way maybe some of his predecessors were. He's just a great columnist who's going to treat you fairly. But that wasn't necessarily the way it was 10, 12 years ago when Melo walked into that.
Do you think they'll raise his number up to the rafters like they do everyone else in New York? There's so many people up there. I can't even keep track of it anymore, how many people they think are fabulous.
I'm not sure if Melo is a Jersey person at Madison Square Garden or not. I think he is in Denver for what he did there and for making the finals. And I certainly think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer when the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame gets around to voting 5 years from now. I would be really surprised if Carmelo were not in the initial class that he was eligible to be.
I mean, when you score that many points, you're going to Springfield. I don't care if you're playing without shoes on. All right, so let's talk about Man City. They did it, and they still, and I think I told you, like, I was on them against Madrid. They don't lose at Etihad. I'm like, they're going to kill them. I said, one goal is not enough. You're in trouble going to play them, and man, they killed them. They destroyed them. Now they're going to win that FA Cup, and then they're going to win the whole kit and caboodle. They're going to win that Champions League. Milan, Inter. I can't keep track of all these Italian teams, but I'm telling you, they're winning the treble.
Yes. I believe strongly that you're correct on that. And you think about that. What is the treble? In American sports, we don't have anything like that. But in England, you have four trophies you can compete to win. In the standard is it's called the league. It was originally called the League Cup. It's got a sponsor's name now that I can't remember. You've got the FA Cup. You've got the Premier League, which they've already won. FA Cup's coming up, and then they'll have the Champions League final as well. And they'll win both of those almost certainly with the way they're playing at this point, unless there's some injury that happens that precludes one or the other, either to Haaland, someone as important as Erling Haaland or Kevin De Bruyne, then maybe something different than what we expect. But there hasn't been a treble winner in England since 1999 when Manchester United did it in one of the most dramatic finishes in the history of sports, when Manchester United scored twice past the 90th minute to beat Bayern Munich. That's what they're trying to match. And certainly, you know, they share the city with Manchester United, and they certainly would like to one up them or at least match what Man U did back in 99.
Is that what one of Ferguson's greatest accomplishments was, that team?
Absolutely. And like I said, they had already won the FA Cup. They'd already won the Premier League at that point, and they went into that Champions League final against Bayern trying to get that treble, and they had to have an incredible comeback. It was one of the greatest comebacks in the history of world sport for them to be able to do that. It's very fondly remembered by Manchester United fans, and I'm sure that when City gets their own treble, it'll be an occasion for Man U to say, hey, we did it too, but it'll still bother them that their city rivals are getting there now.
So my nephew lives in London, and he is a finance guy, and he goes to all those Man U games. I mean, all of them. He's like one of these crazy like Yankee fans that goes out to the Bronx every night. He's one of these guys that goes to every Man U game. He's obsessed with them, like completely gone, like has no life. He's supposed to be like getting married. She doesn't even love him because he's always at those Man U games. There's something wrong with the kid. I mean, you gotta be crazy. But you know, I gotta tell you, I don't have a problem with what Man City's doing. A lot of people have a real issue with it, that they're buying all these titles. And you know, is that any different what the Saudis are doing with Live? You don't like it? We're paying all these guys $100, $200, $300 million to play golf. They're trying to take over sports. Whether you like it or not, money talks.
Well, it's not any different, Scott, but people don't like the Live deal either. It's been widely criticized. That's one of the reasons why I love about American sports, with the exception of baseball, is the salary cap system, because everybody benefits from it. People think that the salary cap exists to suppress salaries. It does not. Salaries have continued to rise. Right. In the major sports that have them. NBA, although they don't have a true defined cap, salaries have skyrocketed. NHL skyrocketed. NFL skyrocketed. They've all done beautifully because of this, the fact that it's about competition. Who's smarter? Who's better? Not who's richer. And that's what's wrong with the Premier League in particular and European soccer in general, is that it all comes down to wealth. That's why Bayern wins in the Bundesliga almost every year. Saturday, a very interesting final day in the Bundesliga. Bayern might finally lose after like 12 in a row. It's why Real Madrid and Barcelona win almost every year in La Liga. It's why Paris Saint-Germain wins in Ligue 1. and why Man City has dominated with five of the last six Premier Leagues. It's not enough about sport. It's too much about money. Now, the counter argument to that is what Chelsea has done this year, which is dump a truckload of money into the club and get appreciably worse. I mean, like from going from third to 11th, really a lot worse. So you can spend dumb, and I'll give credit to Man City for spending smart, but I still think it should be more about intelligent competition than it is about who's got the biggest bag.
Is it the same thing as Alabama and Georgia in college football, how they're buying titles down in the SEC? What is happening with the ACC? Are they all trying to leave?
There's nowhere for them to go, Scott. I think what happened this last week was that those the wealthier schools, the more powerful schools, Duke in basketball, the Florida State and Miami and Clemson in football, Carolina, they all said, we want more for our accomplishments because it was all they had. It was the only card they had to play because there's almost nowhere for any of them to go. The SEC's not looking to expand to add people in markets they've already got covered. The Big Ten's not. So they just played a hand and they got some extra money, but they don't really have anywhere to go.
Well, screw them. And I'm happy for Jim Larranega that he got an old man extension. The guy's going to coach till he's 100. Mike, I'll see you next week. Great stuff.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver High, the Red Sox got swept. That's the only thing good happening in my life right now.
That is probably the only good thing that's happening in your life right now. The Angels beat the Red Sox 7-3 last night out in Anaheim, and you got not only a long ball from Shohei Ohtani, but you also got one from Mike Trout on Bally Sports West.
Come on.
There it goes, left center field, off the bat of Trout. Duran is back at the wall, he leaps, goodbye! Home run, Mike Trout! He passes DiMaggio on the all-time home run list, and the Angels are up 7-1.
You know, I was just thinking about when I saw that outfield, because I used to go to those games there, right? And when I lived in Huntington Beach, I would go to Angel games all the time and just sit wherever I wanted. Nobody ever went. And it is amazing to me. How long has that stadium now been there, Carver High? They've been playing in it for about 80 years. I mean, it really is. I know they've fixed it up a few times, but it's the same old dump.
It's the same old dump. They've probably done a couple of renovations, the old lipstick on a pig routine a few times out there, but it is the same old dump at the end of the day. The Red Sox moved Corey Kluber to the bullpen because he can't get anybody out. So they decided that that's where the best place to put people when you can't get anybody out is the bullpen. The Mariners beat the A's 6-1. Carlos Correa is dealing with foot and heel injuries. Plantar fascia, as you mentioned, he may land on the IL. I would bet that he does. When we come back, I will give you tonight's games, including the Mariners and the A's once again in Seattle tonight, Scotty. So lots of baseball. How about a Charles Schwab update for you, too? The fairy tale's over for Michael Block as he bogeys four of the first five holes down at the Colonial. He is plus three through five. Not a good scene for him.
So can we get over that finally? That thing has run its course. Like, every day I hear about Michael Block. Like, come on. Like, really? Are we going to do this again? Fairy